It's Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
8:15, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumnick, Isher, thanks for being with us here this morning. Well, really, not a whole lot going on, not much to talk about, but we still thought we would get Galesburg District 205 Superintendent John Asplund on with us this morning because, you know, it is opening day after all, right? So, is that right, Dr. Asplund? Really not much else to talk about. maybe there are some other things to talk about. John, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. Good morning.
Well, thanks for joining us here this morning. Are you excited about opening day, or has that even crossed your mind? Because he may have been slightly busy as of late.
Well, I have to admit, this is definitely not like most opening days. That's not really been something I've been paying much attention to.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. We've had it on the news all morning. Your board meeting last night, District 205, of course, you know, being done by Zoom. And the decision was made. I know this has been this. You've been talking about this for a long time since the beginning of this pandemic. That you're starting the school year with the e-learning or distance learning. Tell us how you and the board came to that decision.
Well, it was a really long process where we tried to involve as many people as we conceivably could, and we started obviously looking at different possibilities back in the spring when we were still trying to end the year. And we decided that we would wait until kind of the dust settled after we could get our graduation ceremony that we did for the seniors done. And then after that, we really turned our full attention to this. And after that, we surveyed parents, we surveyed our staff. We then had focus groups with parents, students, staff, and talking about how last year ended and things we learned from that and how we could do better this year and what people wanted to do for this year. And obviously we've been reading every science journal we can get our hands on and, have attended a lot of different online meetings with epidemiologists and really trying to figure out the science of this whole thing. And so over the last month, we kind of compiled all of that information and then we set up six different committees that met last week that made a recommendation, and then we spent last weekend compiling all that information. Jennifer Hamm, our assistant superintendent, and Tiffany Springer, our director of curriculum, and I, and Mindy Ritchie, our right now assistant principal at the high school. She's expanding into an SEL, social emotional learning role. But we spent all day here on Saturday compiling all that and then putting together the plan. And so, it's been thousands of combined hours of trying to get to this point.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. You mentioned, all the studying, looking at all the science, which is not easy because it's all so completely different, and it was saying one thing early and saying another thing mid and saying different things now at times. One of the things that, and I continually ask this about, for instance, with say, Major League Baseball or some other things, like, from my standpoint, it's like, to me, either masks work or they don't work. And I know that's not necessarily the case, but it's like, okay, if they work, then why are we not going to baseball games and why are things not open up? And I guess I would ask if you had somebody ask you that about the school district, because the one thing that the state government did and before they pushed all the blame onto the local districts was, you have to wear a mask, but then the rest of it's up to you. What do you say to that as far as a mask? And what did you find, I guess, in your research?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So based on what I've seen and the experts that we've talked to, the masks are definitely an essential part of this whole scenario, that it does slow the spread if people are masked up. But so that's obviously a good thing, that we know that there is something that we can use that will likely control the spread of the virus. But when you start talking about controlling that for 4,000 kids a day and the staff members, and then another factor that was a really big factor in our decision making was we also asked how many substitute teachers would be willing to sub this year. And on any given day, we have between 15 and 30 subs in the district, and we just have a handful of people. And I certainly do not blame them for saying that maybe this year they were going to take a pass on subbing. And so that's been a big concern of ours. We still have open positions for teachers. Those are considerations that we had to take into account as well. There's not a lot of people entering the teaching profession right now, so it's still difficult to find people. And, you know, those were definitely all factors. But at the end of the day, you know, we decided that really the science was a little bit incomplete. And one of the things that we did when we set up our committees was we put in these mock classrooms where we set up what it was supposed to look like, and we had everybody walk through them. And, you know, I think the thing I want everybody to know is if and when we do come back in with the students, if we still have the regulations that are in place, it wouldn't be like typical school. You'd have to have the teacher standing at the front of the room with a mask on, with all the students facing forward, spread, you know, hopefully 6 feet apart, looking forward. The teacher can't go to the back to help a kid. They're all supposed to stay away from each other. That's not how school should be run. And so that was obviously a big consideration of ours, too, that maybe if we figured out a way to slowly bring kids back and give the neediest kids some individual attention, because that's part of this plan, too, where we will be bringing small groups of students in, then maybe we can actually get to a place where we can have a little bit more of effective instruction, because otherwise it kind of felt like a, you know, a 101 biology class at the U of I, where there'd be 100 people in the audience and a professor at the front and just lecturing. And, you know, we don't believe that's really an effective way of teaching all of our children. So we're not real excited about that possibility. So we're trying to figure out a creative way so that we can still provide face-to-face instruction, even though it has to be over a digital platform right now.
Dr. John Asplin, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Tyler and I were talking off the air a little bit ago until he came up with a good question that is probably one of those that we'll see on social media. Well, the reason they're doing this is because the construction ain't done. Well, I will let you tell, was any of the construction that's going on in the district, and you've got a lot of projects going on, was that at all a factor in the e-learning or distance learning to start the year?
No, absolutely not. We, you know, these construction projects are far enough along that we knew we would be able to get people back in the building when school started. That was not part of it. We knew we might have to get a little creative over at King because some of the flooring might be down, as I think I said on here before. But, you know, beyond that, we'll be ready to go. That's not any consideration for this at all.
You mentioned some changes in the remote learning. I know you mentioned Tiffany Springer handles the curriculum, and it's going to be different. Obviously, what happened at the beginning of this thing, you had to throw together as quickly as possible and do the best with the resources you had. So it sounds as though this remote learning is going to look different than it did in the spring. What kind of changes, what are going to be some of the differences that parents and students may notice?
I would say the biggest differences right off the top are, last year we were told by the state board we could not grade students. They either received a pass or an incomplete. And this year it is absolutely grading. There's an expectation that they will be in class one way, shape, or form for 5 hours a day, whereas last spring that was not a requirement. We are going to be moving with an academic focus. There will be a social emotional learning component to it too. There needs to be, but we're going to be focused more on academics. There's going to be assignments. They're going to be having to turn them in. There's going to be a lot more checking of attendance, making sure that students are actually present. You know, so it's going to feel like one foot in the remote world of last year and one foot in a regular classroom, because we're going to treat it more like a regular classroom that just happens to be happening online.
Dr. John Asplin, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. You know, there are so many things that go into your decisions that the general public doesn't know, and there are some parents that know some things. And you know, one of the questions on our Facebook page about this was for instance, how about with somebody who has a one-on-one with an aide for a student that has an IEP? And I know you had mentioned a bit ago that there were going to be some cases where those students with the most need or special needs would be able to be in. And that is that kind of the way it's going to be? And again, these are considerations that the general public probably doesn't know some of the things that are required of teachers, especially with students with IEPs or with special needs.
Absolutely. So the students with IEPs, we have to make sure that we're following those individual education plans. And so those are essentially contracts between the school and the parents and the child. So we absolutely need to live up to those. And we're going through, matter of fact, when I get off the phone today, we're going to be going right back into a meeting where we're deciding which students we're going to be calling back first. I mean, we have a preliminary list, but we want to make sure that we then reach out to those parents and see if they're willing to let their child come in. That's another consideration we have to find. And then from there, we'll obviously move on, and we're going to try to locate which children are at the lowest 5% in terms of their grade level, in terms of who's struggling the most. And we're trying to put the plan together to get those students in as well. So, you know, we're trying to meet every kid's needs where they are. Obviously, from a distance, that's more difficult, but we feel like this plan can individualize those needs as best as we can right now.
You know, you mentioned something earlier about when you do get back to class and how different it will look. I mean, one of the other things, transportation. I mean, obviously, you would do your best to hope parents would be able to bring their children, but, I mean, is busing even possible when this happens with the same restrictions?
Busing, as we're used to it, until there is some method of knowing who has COVID-19, is going to have to look different. And the state's been a little, I guess I'd say, inconsistent on that one. Whereas they say you can have 50 kids on a bus, but then they have to sit every other seat. Well, those two comments are mutually exclusive of each other. There's 24 seats in a bus, and so you know, that becomes a little bit more difficult. Sometimes we have a few more seats than that, but there's really not enough room. So that's a challenge we're going to have to figure out as we start to bring more and more students back, about how we're going to provide transportation for those that need it.
Dr. John Asplund is Galesburg District 205 superintendent. Board met last night, and the school year will start with e-learning. And, of course, John, there's the question, and something the Kent District is unable to do. I mean, obviously, there are families who do not have or cannot afford internet or don't have access, and there's really not a lot the district can do about that, is there?
Not a lot, although we've learned a lot from last year's plan, and we do know there's some things we can do to try to get internet closer to those families and make it available as much as humanly possible. And there's some narrow circumstances where we can provide some hot spots for families. But we also have a pretty good grasp of who has internet, obviously with incoming kindergartners, not necessarily, but with a lot of our students, especially our returning ones, we know who already has it. So we have worked out a plan to attempt to get everybody either internet in their house or very near their house.
Boy, other than this, John, what else is going on? Anything? Man.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I know there are other things going on. I know you've
got a sale coming up.
Right, yes. That way, you know what? Maybe one of the good things, I don't know if that's a good thing or just kind of a pain with everything else going on right now. Let's talk about the auction coming up.
Okay, yeah, great. We have an auction starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow in the field house for anybody that wants some desks or tables or cabinets or sewing machines. Or, you know, we're trying to make sure that those things are available to people in the community if they want to come out and purchase them.
There you go. Well, Tyler had been wondering about sewing machines. There you go, Tyler.
Well, I need an outdoor desk for when I get kicked out of the house. So.
We put them in the hallway here, too, sometimes, John. I didn't know if you knew that. But did I see right there's also some, like, kitchen equipment from a couple of the schools?
There is some kitchen equipment left, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
So. That would be available for tomorrow. So if you want to get some kitchen equipment, you can come out and look at that as well.
The other thing is, and we may know something later today, the Illinois High School Association postponed their board meeting the other day. They are meeting today with the Illinois Department of Public Health, the Illinois State Board of Education, and they decide, like, you know what, we're not going to be the bad guys. We will let the IDPH and the ISBE make the decision. Does it sound to you like later today we will hear something about at least fall sports, if nothing else?
Well, I'll be honest. I've kind of stopped counting on when they're going to do it every time they say they postpone. So, I guess I'll just wait. And when they actually meet, then I'll wait and see what they say. So, maybe. But I've said that about five or six times already. So.
Right. Right. Well, John, anything else as far as the e-learning, the distance learning, and the start of school? Any, you know, questions you've gotten from people that you'd like to address, or anything that maybe we haven't asked you this morning that needs to be addressed?
Well, I think, you know, the thing that was kind of at the center of what we talked about last night was that we don't want to make our students, families, teachers have to bounce back and forth constantly. That, you know, this not knowing, this, you know, complete, you know, we're going to be in school and we're going to do it this way. We're going to be in remote. We're going to do it this way. So we've tried to devise a plan where it's the most workable for the whole year. And so that's why I know you played the audio of me saying it. We're trying to say that we have three mobile platforms, and Seesaw for K-2 and Google Classroom for almost all the other 3 through 12, but we do have some narrow, like if you're in a dual credit or an upper level class, some teachers use this platform called Moodle. we're going to make sure that everybody's using those platforms. So all year long, all instruction will emanate from that platform, so that if we have to all of a sudden in December pull everybody back and we go full remote after we've brought people back, then everything's still emanating from that one spot. So it shouldn't be a huge switch back and forth all the time. It would just be a location thing and numbers of children that we have in school. So, you know, we know this year is going to be a challenge for everybody, but we're trying to figure out ways to make it simpler. And you know, we're trying to make it through this just like everybody else. And, you know, so anything we can do to make it simplified for people is what we're trying to do.
Well, I know the message in the past has been, yes, we're here to educate your children, but, you know, safety is right there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the safety of everybody has to be the first thing we talk about. And so, you know, I know that, you know, other people have definitely approached me and said, well, why are these other school districts going back and you're not? And, you know, I said last night at the board meeting, but, you know, every district has to make the decisions for the situation that they find themselves in. This doesn't mean we're right and they're wrong. It doesn't mean that they're right and we're wrong. Everybody's doing the best they can for their kids and their building at their time.
Well, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but also it might be a little bit easier with depending on enrollment numbers. It's a smaller school district. Yeah. It can be way easier.
Right. When you have 600 kids in your district, it's a little bit easier to move your kids around than it is when we have 4,000. And so, you know, we could make it work in some way, shape, or form, depending on some relaxed requirements from the state. If that comes to pass, we can definitely make it work if things get a little bit better. But, you know, if it gets a little stricter too, I mean, we want to look at it from that perspective too. We want to make sure that if we all of a sudden have to go back into phase three, then, you know, everybody understands, okay, well, we're going to continue doing what we're doing and we'll bring in the kids that we can. And if, you know, I hope this never happens, but if we go back to phase two, then okay, well, we're still doing what we're doing. We probably can't bring people back in then. And then if we come back to phase four and it looks like everything's trending in the right direction, then we can make some different decisions. But, you know, I told the board last night, I don't think we should act like we're waiting for a vaccine, because that may take a very long time. The thing I believe we should be waiting for is really reliable rapid response testing. So if we knew who was walking in the building had COVID-19, it'd be easy to just go ahead and have school, because we could just tell those kids, well, you can't come in. Because, you know, then that would be very simple. But right now we just don't know who has it. And so that's why you have to wear the mask. That's why you have to do the distancing. That's why all this has to happen, because we really just don't know, you know, who the spreader is. And so if we had a better idea who that was, we could definitely make a lot of different decisions.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. John, as always, thank you for taking some time with us here this morning. We always do appreciate it. I know it was been not just a long night for you last night, but you've had some tough days and tough decisions as of late to make. And I think people need to understand, you know, we've talked about this before, that you know, it's and this way with a lot of businesses and things, but especially with school districts, you're kind of in a no-win. You are not going to satisfy everybody. There's absolutely no way. There's going to be, you know, somebody not happy with your decision no matter. But what you and the board did was make what you felt was the best decision for the kids and the staff.
Yeah, well, and yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, we knew we weren't going to make a popular decision, because whichever way we went, there were going to be people that didn't want to do that. And so, you know, we had to try to find the path that we felt we could sustain, that we could defend, that we could enact, that we could go forward and have a whole lot of confidence that we were keeping everybody safe first and foremost, because, you know, we can remediate and we can mitigate any learning loss that comes along. We cannot mitigate and remediate, you know, terrible illness with lifelong sickness or death. And so we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep everybody safe, and we'll continue to work this problem probably for the next few years, because, you know, we know last year was a strange year, and we're going to have to move forward this year with another strange year. And, you know, hopefully it gets a lot better as we go along. And, you know, but as we like to say, hope is not a strategy. So we have to make sure that we have strategies moving forward to try to do the best we can with the information in front of us. And, you know, we're always going to err on the side of caution in terms of safety. And so that's why we made the decision we made.
Absolutely. John, as always, thank you so much. Just in case you need a little break, it's hard to find the Cubs anywhere if you want to watch them on TV, but they will be on ESPN tonight, right? Is that time?
Okay.
Yeah, against the Brewers. But if you want to watch Major League Baseball, of course, against the Cardinals here on WGIL.
Well,
just saying.
You know, I did. So when I got home last night, I did turn it on because I wanted to see what it would be like and watching the Dodger game, and seeing cardboard cutouts of fans and having crowd noise pumped in. I thought that was pretty. That was pretty clever. And if you have 1 minute, I have a funny story.
Sure.
I want to tell you. I was listening to you this morning, so and it involves your mom. So you talked about Blazing Saddles,
right?
So when I was in the third grade in your mom's class, I vividly remember we're sitting there one day and your mom comes into school and she says, "Children, I saw Coach Bob and I saw a movie last night none of you may ever see. It was so filthy. It was so horrible. Coach Bob and I left, and it's called Blazing Saddles." And all of us go out of recess. We're like, "What was the name of that movie? We got to see this movie." Like, this must be hilarious.
Oh,
goodness.
So I guess I made a mistake this morning of admitting I saw it.
He inadvertently pushed us in the direction of all seeing Blazing Saddles.
Oh my goodness! Well, so you know, not when you get in, if you have a school assembly this year, you will not tell the students not to watch it because you don't want to put it in their minds, right?
Make sure I don't ever catch something. I'm gonna go out and do it.
It's okay, Mom. John turned out okay. It's all right. Me, not so much. Your own son, but...
Yeah, you were watching it with her.
Right, yes. Yeah, no. That was not the case. I see. I didn't even know that. I did not know they went to see it. Thank you for telling me that, though.
I am telling you she did.
Oh, I am glad I know that story now. Yes, I can imagine that was probably horrifying for her. I can see that. All right. Well, Dr. John Aswin, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us this morning. John, as always, thank you. Thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I always appreciate being able to come on here and explain how we're doing things, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.